If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, we'll be in the book of Galatians this morning in chapter 5. We're looking at some of the Apostle Paul's writings in verses 16 through 25. Galatians 5, 16 through 25 is where we're going to look at it this morning. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes God's Word is a little tough, but God always provides a solution. He always gives us something that's comforting to go behind some of the guidance and the direction that He gives us. And certainly we're going to look at that this morning. When I'm studying the Scripture, look at the title of the message. What's going to be the title of the message? And so this morning, the title of the message is The Importance of Christian Virtues. But studying that passage of Scripture, I was looking at, man, I could have named this many different titles. I could have gave it many titles. And I looked at some others that would have been Walking with the Lord would be a good title for the submission. Another one would be Led by the Spirit, Led by the Holy Spirit. Those are all good things. When you look at the Scripture, look at that. What's God trying to talk to us about? What's He trying to tell me? What am I getting out of that and want to understand it? And so just look at it together. We're going to talk about Christian virtues, but seriously, we're going to talk about walking with the Lord. And that's what's important. And walking with is some things that's just ironic. I've thought about some things, and then me and Miss Kay talked about some things about walking this morning. I want to share those with you in just a second, but I like to start with a couple questions to kind of get your minds thinking about what we're going to talk about, getting you start thinking about some things that you want to do. And this is all self-examination. Now, let me tell you something. No passage of Scripture is just intended for one person. We all gain something for it. But sometimes it's a little different. When I was sitting in the congregation under Brother Carl Harrow, I could have swore every Sunday he was preaching to me. Nobody else in that church needed anything, but what Brother Carl was bringing was coming straight to me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Amen? But anyhow, there's got to be something here because God has led me into this passage, and we're gonna look at it this morning. So let me ask you a couple plain, just simple questions. What do you value in life? What do you value in life? What things are important to you? Two things to look at. What do you value in life? What things are important to you? And when I look at those two questions, I'm gonna say, you say, well, Brother Kerry, that's pretty easy. Let me just look at a few things. My family is important to me. Most people would say that. My family is important to me. My job is important to me. The relationships that I have with other people are important to me. The things that make me happy are important to me. For Christians, the first thing we say is my salvation is important to me. Amen? My salvation is important to me. My relationship with God is important to me. My walk with Jesus is important to me. You're thinking about these things, all these things that are important to me. My love for people around me is important to me. My church family is important to me. Let me tell you something. Over the last several weeks, I can't tell you how many times I have heard the words, I love my church family. Amen? I love my church family. My church family is important to me. I'm thinking about walking. When walking with Jesus, this is one of the things that I was thinking about. I was thinking about this morning. Patty has mowed an area around our pecan orchard, pecan grove, whatever you want to call it, where she can see to walk without seeing snakes, right? Y'all have that problem? She gets it cut down close so that she can walk around it. And so we're thinking about it. And so when I think about if I make that walk by myself, it is a mission. I'm on a mission for the purpose of I need exercise, right? That's the reason. But when I take that walk with Patty, like yesterday afternoon we took the walk, it's a different mission. It's not even a purpose to exercise. The conversation that we have walking around that is important to me, amen? So let me tell you something. When I was talking to Miss Kay this morning, she does that exact same thing. But when you walk by yourself, you're walking with the Lord, amen? And you're fellowshipping with the Lord, and that's important to you. There's a different purpose for that. The reason that these things are all important to us is because of the value that each one of them has, the purpose that they have, the value they have, the way they mean so much to us. We live in a broken world, and I don't have to convince you of that. We live in a broken world that's full of sin. Let's look at some things together this morning. There's a battle going on between good and evil. Amen? There's a battle going on in this world, in this country specifically, but in this world, there's a battle going on between good and evil. There's a battle going on between what is right and what is wrong. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What's right and wrong? Let me tell you. So how do we know the difference? Well, it's pretty simple. If it aligns with God's word, if it follows God's word, then it is right. Amen? If it opposes God's word, then it is what?
Wrong.
There's no, it's clear cut. I can't get it any simpler than that. It's clear cut. Now let's look at a few things. That's why the importance of Christian virtues. We're going to talk about that this morning. Christian virtues are the equivalent of Christian values. Christian virtues should be easily displayed in a Christian's life. Shouldn't be any question about it. Should be seen easily. Should be able to know. Non-believers and believers alike should be able to see these Christian virtues and Christian values that are displayed in the Christian's life. Now let's look at some things together. I want you to know a few things, all right? God's word gives us a clear instructions on what we should do and some clear instructions on what we should not do. He's very clear about it. He gives us some instructions, all right? God's word is always clear on how we should live. The Bible is a manual. The Bible is a guidebook. The Bible gives us every answer we need, and it's pretty clear. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul's writing this morning because he gives us some clear instructions on the values and the virtues that should be displayed in the Christian's life. Now, we're going to be delicate with this. I want you to work with me. I want you to stay with me all the way to the end of the message. Don't get up and leave halfway through, okay? Amen? All right, you got to stay with me. If you were able, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word this morning? Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, says this. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and here's the one, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things as I've warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against these things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. Pray with me, please. Father God, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. God, I just ask that you cleanse me of every sin, cleanse me of every impurity in my life. And Father, I ask that you hide your servant behind the cross and allow me to deliver your message to your people. These things I ask in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. And you may be seated. The secular definition, when I looked up the word virtue, the secular definition is behavior showing high moral standard, more of a cut above, so to speak. High moral standard, that's what a virtue is. When we look at that, high moral standards, there's a choice to make in this world, but there's only two choices when it comes to living the life. Let me tell you something. Sometimes multiple choices are more complicated than just having a cut and dried two choices, amen? Sometimes we have too many things to look at. It makes it complicated. But living the life, there's only two choices. And you can't straddle the fence. And hear me out on this now. I'm going to share with you some things. You can't straddle the fence. You can't exhibit the desires of the flesh all week and then exhibit the desires of the Spirit one day out of the week. That's a little delicate. I know what you're talking about. Think all week you can't be living by the flesh and then on Sunday morning come in and be living by the Spirit. There's a difference between that. Now, let me tell you something. You can't go back and forth. You can't straddle the fence, but it is possible to be living by the flesh and then all of a sudden on one day change to be living by the Spirit, because God will change people every single day, and God wants us to change. You can't exhibit the desires of the flesh in one minute and then the desires of the spirit the next minute. It doesn't work that way. It's not going to be easy. Being a Christian is very difficult. When we think about these things that Paul's talking about, it's difficult to be followed and being pulled and be led by the flesh and then all of a sudden led by the spirit. But what it does mean is that your focus being led by the spirit is in one place and one place only. And that's not split between opposing forces. Let me tell you something. The revelation of Jesus Christ says this. He makes it black and white. He says, Revelation 3:15-16, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I mean, those are strong words coming from Jesus in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Kerry, why don't you take it easy on the hard stuff? Why don't you take it easy on the hard stuff? I want you to talk about something that's a little bit easier for me to tolerate. Don't be stepping on my toes quite so much. Well, let me tell you something. I'm stepping on my own toes. I've stepped on my own toes. When I'm looking at this passage of Scripture, I'm thinking, it is very difficult. God is very pointed when he talks about some of the things that we should be doing and some of the things that we should not be doing. When we look at it, it's very strong. Why don't you preach something a little easier? Well, you have a choice in how you live your life, but there's only two choices when it comes to living your life. You're either drawn by the flesh or you're drawn by the spirit. That is the only two choices. God's word gives us guidance and it gives us direction. And every single word in God's word is meant for guidance and direction for the way and the path that he wants us to go. Amen. It's not to be pulled by the flesh. It's not to be pulled by this world. It's not to be molded so that everything is comfortable. So how do we gain and maintain the Christian virtues that Paul describes? How do we gain these fruits of the Spirit? How do we go in them? How do they become part of our nature? How do they become part of our lives? Well, here it is, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of our lives. The Scripture is very clear. There's multiple ways that the moment you become a believer that the Holy Spirit moves inside of your heart. He sets up shop. He wants to be there. He gives you power when you need it. He gives you strength when you need it. When you're facing temptations and tribulations and trials in your life, the Holy Spirit can give you the strength you need to overcome those difficulties, because there will be difficulty. There's no way around struggle. If I preach one message on struggle, I preach it every single Sunday, because struggle occurs every day. When you take a self-examination of your own life, you think about it. Have I struggled this week with anything? Has anything been pulling on me? When you think about what Kathy said about VBS, there's a struggle going on because Satan is trying to pull you away from God. Amen? He wants to deceive you by allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of us, by resisting the opposing forces and the pressures of this world. This world wants you to conform to the world. It wants you to be tolerant of the things that are taking place in this world. And you think about it, that's not what God's word says. By resisting the desires of the flesh, by surrendering to the one who died on the cross and paid the sin debt for me and for you. That's how we make it and we maintain it. It's a choice that we make when we become a believer, when we decide to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus chose us before we chose him, but it's a choice that we make. When he was hanging on the cross, man, that's a song that was so important to my mom. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, let me tell you something. He's hanging there in excruciating pain, physical pain, being after what he had gone through. But he was thinking about you, and he was thinking about me. He was thinking about this country right now. He was thinking about what was taking place in this country. He was thinking about each one of us. He was thinking about how much he loved us, how much he was going through for us, how much he wanted us to spend eternity with him in heaven, what it was going to take for us to get there, how much he wants us to tell other people about how much he loves them. It's all important. What he did for them is all that he was thinking about. Following Jesus is a choice. We choose to follow Christ and we choose to live a life that honors him. Let me tell you something. That's what we choose. My life hasn't always honored God. I wish I could say that it has, but it hasn't always honored him. Man, you look at your own life. Is it honoring God? That's what we're looking at this morning. We want to honor God with our life. We want to honor him with our resources. We want to honor him with our prayer time and the things that we do. We're going to talk about two things this morning in this passage, and then we'll wrap it up. But one is the struggle, and the other one is the solution. Those are two things that are going to be very important in this passage of Scripture, because there is a struggle, but God gives us a solution. There's a war going on between good and evil. the opposing forces in this world, the spirit and the flesh are at war against each other. When Paul talks about the flesh, he's not talking about the flesh and bones of our body. He's not talking about that when he talks about the flesh, because God made the body, and everything that God made was not just good, but it was what? Very good. He made man in his own image. Paul is talking about the flesh. The flesh refers to the old nature, the nature that we inherited, the sinful nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve all the way down. That's the flesh that he's describing. That's what he's talking about this morning. God created us perfect and we're very good, but the flesh is the old nature and the nature that we inherited when we were born. Now, the spirit and the flesh are opposing forces, and they are at war against each other. Opposing forces each have an agenda. They each have an intention for what they want you to do. They each have a direction of which way they want you to go. They're opposing forces, but they are not in the same direction. Amen? Let me tell you something. The flesh and the spirit are not traveling in the same direction. They're going opposite direction from one to the other. Opposing forces' intentions are completely different. They both have guidance. They both have direction, but they are completely opposite from where they want to go. If the Holy Spirit controls your body, then you walk in the Spirit. If God is in control through the power of the Holy Spirit, if He's leading your life, if you've turned it over to Him, then you're walking with the Spirit. But if the flesh controls your body, then you walk with the desires of the flesh. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes that's hard. And this is what causes a conflict between the two. But let's move a little forward. Let's talk about the solution that goes with the struggle, because that struggle is present each and every day. The solution is that this conflict in our lives is not to try to overcome this on our own, because let me tell you something. On your own, you can't overcome any of the struggles that Satan puts in front of you. Amen? Man, he's had thousands and thousands of years to master his craft. And he's very good at it. And on your own, you can't fight him. You can't get away from him. You can't not be in control of him. But let me tell you something. When you become a believer and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, the Holy Spirit can take care of him. The Holy Spirit give you the strength to take care of him. He does not have the power that the Holy Spirit has. He cannot have he has to respond to it. On our own, we can't do anything against Satan's deceptions. He's stronger than we are. The solution is to surrender our will to the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit, to let Him lead it, to turn it over to God, to just say, hey, Lord, you know, we've talked about in the past, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own, and we can't do it on our own. We have to let God the Father take us. There's a phrase that's been used off and on for many years, and that phrase is WWJD. You know what that means? What would Jesus do? When you're placed in a situation, when you're placed in a temptation, when you're placed in an area that you're really uncomfortable for being there, you think about it. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would He handle it? How would He respond to it? How would He answer the questions that I'm having to answer? The Holy Spirit places God's desires inside of our hearts so that we have a desire to obey God out of the love that we have for Him. We want to obey God because we have a desire to worship Him and to obey Him and to be led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit are opposing forces to yielding to the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, your focus is on the Spirit. It focuses on God. You know, we pray that sometimes and say, Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on You. Because when you take your eyes off the cross, what happens? That's when we struggle. Your actions are a result of being led by the Spirit. The Bible says that the results of being led by the Spirit are produce fruit. This is one of the best things. That Jesus Christ talks about producing fruit multiple times throughout Scripture. Fruit's very important. Fruit's been made to be something that's very important. The Bible says that being led by the Spirit produces fruit. The fruits of the Spirit, which are displayed in a believer's life, produce evidence that a person belongs to Jesus Christ. Like I told you first, there's no doubt about it. When you see these fruits being produced, these reproducible fruits being produced by the Christian, there's no doubt who you are. You think about it. Fruit must grow out of life. In the case of the believer, the life is being led by the Spirit. When you think about good fruit, and this is one of the things you think about it, and I know every one of y'all deal with this. When you think about good fruit, let's look at this together. When you think about good fruit, you think about things that are pretty, enjoyable, tasty, and pleasing to the eye. Amen? Good fruit. All right, let's look at this. When you're selecting fruit at the market, what do? You pick it up. You take a good long look at it. You spin it around. You're looking for imperfections. You mash it a little bit. Make sure it's not too soft and mushy, right? Oh, you're inspecting it. You want to make sure that it's good fruit before you buy it. You examine every single detail to make sure it's the best that it can be. Now, within good fruit, there are seeds that will germinate and what? Reproduce what? Good fruit. That's what you're hoping for. That's what they're supposed to be. They're going to do more fruit. When good fruit, you see these seeds produce more fruit. The Spirit produces living fruit. Living fruit has in it the seed that is still produced more fruit. Love, which is the first one of these fruits of the Spirit, love produces more love. Joy is the next one. Joy helps to reproduce more joy. Jesus desires that we be led by the Spirit and that we produce fruit. When you look in John 15:2, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, meaning God removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce what? More fruit. That's the process that needs to take place. He goes on in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because you can do nothing without me. We can't do nothing on our own. Not just fruit, more fruit, but much fruit. Producing fruit is the way we honor God. It's the way we glorify God. The old nature cannot produce fruit. It's led by the Spirit. There's no fruit production that takes place being led by the Spirit, by the flesh, okay? The old nature cannot produce fruit. Only the new nature can produce fruit. Being led by the flesh will not produce fruit. It may produce some temporary satisfaction. It may give you a little bit of temporary pleasure for a short period of time, but it will not produce fruit that is lasting. It's not producing anything that's reproducible. The only way we can produce the fruit that Christ desires is to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way we're going to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. The fruits of the Spirit listed in this passage of Scripture all have to do with character. When you think about it, when you look at all nine of these, they all have to do with Christian virtues, Christian values, or Christian character. We spent a lot of time talking about character. Character is important. We've talked about the character of God. We talked about the character of Jesus. We talked about characteristics of both of them. We talked about character of different people within the Bible. We've talked about the character of the mother here recently at Mother's Day. You know, all these things that we talk about. This past Wednesday night during our Bible study, we talked about the character and the characteristics of who? Anybody? Say it loud. Job. Job was one that was tested hard, wasn't he? Did Job have any struggle? This characteristic of Job and on Wednesday night, the characteristic that God wants us in our lives is seen through the nine fruits of the Spirit. Now look at this. Paul begins the characteristics with the word love. That's the first fruit of the Spirit. But when you look at all nine of the fruits of the Spirit, you can see love in every single one of them. It's embedded in every single one of them because all of the other fruits are really a product of love. You see the characteristics of love in each of the fruits of the Spirit. The word love is represented by the word agape, which means unconditional or divine love. It means it has no boundaries. It has no limits. There's no end to what it has to offer us. Love is God's gift to us, to mankind. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that true love? That's agape love, an unconditional love. Love's a characteristic that we need to cultivate it. I mean, love has to be nurtured. It has to be fed. It has to be taken care of. And we pray that it increases in our lives as Christians. When a person experiences love that God has for his people, then he experiences true joy that provides an inward peace and sufficiency. When you have Christian love, then that joy comes from the Father. That's where true joy comes from. And that's all affected. Love is a joy that produces peace. Philippians 4:7 says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and the minds in Jesus Christ. When we turn our eyes to Jesus Christ, he frees us from that bondage of sin, because sin is a bondage issue. It traps us. It's part of the flesh. It frees us from us. Jesus frees us from it. He gives us the power to resist it when we need it. You think about it, and you've got to think about these things. He gives us the power we need. He gives us the power we need to overcome the bondage and the grasp that sin has on us. When we choose the gospel, when we choose Jesus Christ, it affects and influences the way we live and the way that we act, the words that we say, the lives that we live. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit provides the strength we need when we need it. Amen? You're going to need it. There's different times, and this day you're going to need the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to need some times tomorrow. We got people that are dealing with sickness. We got people in and out of the hospital. We got people that are having issues that they don't think they can see the end of it. Man, the power of the Holy Spirit is what we need when we need it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me.'" Amen? And I tell you what, it's important. God gives us, he gives us guidance. He gives us direction. He tells us some things that we should stay away from, but he also gives us a solution, and he makes it very clear on how easy it is to follow him. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road, but he does make it clear that all we have to do is lean on him, grow closer to him, and he will guide us every single way. God loves us. He loves us unconditionally, and he wants to have a relationship with his people. John 3:16, I just read it to you, but it is one of the most important verses of Scripture in the body. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, should not, could not, and would not perish, but have eternal life." Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God." Man's a sinner. And we were born with old nature, a sinful nature. Nothing we could do about it. We inherited it. The only thing we could do about it is turn away from it. Turn away from the flesh. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin creates a separation between us and God. It is a barrier. It's a big black barrier. And we can't get to him. He can't get to us. There had to be a solution for it. We didn't know we were lost until the Savior came to provide an alternative for us. But God sent his Son to this world to spend 33 plus years here for a purpose, for part of his plan, to ultimately to go to the cross, to sacrifice his life, to pay the sin debt that he didn't owe for me, for the sin that I did owe and that you owe and that we all owe, so that we would have salvation and have the opportunity for eternal life in heaven with him. You know, one of the questions I was asked this past week was, where in the Bible does it say that people go to heaven when they die? All but Jesus. So Jesus went to heaven. Where else does it say that? And my response to that was, do you believe Jesus is in heaven? They said, yeah. So do you believe every word in the Bible to be true? Yeah. It says in the Bible to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord means that you would be in heaven. Amen. And that's what it means. God give us an opportunity to spend eternity with him in heaven. Romans 10:13 says this, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He made it very simple. God didn't make it complicated at all. He made it very simple. You turn your life over to him, you call on him, and he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, when our time on this earth is over, we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. There's only two choices for the afterlife. There's only two choices. I mean, you can have a lot of thoughts about it if you want to, but let me tell you, there's only two choices. We're either going to spend eternity separated from the Father, or we're going to spend eternity in his presence, which is where life is. There's no life separation. There's only life in his presence, and the choice is yours to make it. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I urge you to clear that up today. Maybe today you want to make sure that you know this Jesus that I'm talking about. I mean, he wants to know you. Romans 10:9 says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It's just that easy. All you got to do is invite him in. He'll move in, set up shop, and he'll be your Lord. He'll be your Savior. He'll be leading you, and you'll be led by the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I come before you this morning with thankful hearts. God, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in your word. And God, just pray for the guidance that you give us. God, just pray that we would walk in the walk and that we would walk with the Spirit. And God, that we would follow your direction each and every day. Father, I pray if there's one person, the sound of my voice, that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that this day would be the day that they would come to know you. Father, for others in our congregation, God, is there is a need for salvation. There's also a need for ministry. And God, just pray that your Holy Spirit would just minister to all those in our presence and all those in need like never before. Father, fill this sanctuary. Give us the opportunity to fellowship with you one-on-one for whatever decisions we need to make. These things I ask in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.